What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. If you're watching this on YouTube and aren't subscribed, make sure and click the subscribe button, like, comment, and let us think about the episode. If there's a particular guest or topic that you'd like to have on, we love checking your feedback on there and then being able to get your suggestions on the future episodes. Today I'm going to be joined by Johnny from Stainless Diesel. I wanted to catch up with him on how race season went for him at the end of the year, and then also talk about turbo, some new things that they're working on, and different tips and questions that we get from you guys as far as picking the right turbo for different applications. So I'm definitely looking forward to chatting with him today. Before we get to it though, I want to remind you our friends over at Kershaw Knives have a 40% off MSRP code for you. Use code 2024 diesel40 at kershaw.kaiusa.com. It's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear. So if you need a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC around the job site, they've definitely got you covered with a bunch of different choices to meet any budget and different options for blade shape, length, different handle designs. So if you're in the market, definitely make sure head on over to their website and use code 2024 diesel40 for 40% off MSRP. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Johnny from Stainless Diesel talking about racing and turbos. Johnny, welcome back to the Diesel Podcast. Look forward to chatting with you today. I've seen on social media, you guys have been a lot of places doing a lot of cool things with PRI and the ODSS stuff, and I've seen the senior car a bunch of different places. So I wanted to catch up with you. You know,
man.
Holidays are wrapping up and everything else, and see how it's been since we chatted last.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for having me back on. So been a wild and crazy year for sure. Last season we got the car back out and did a bunch of cool racing stuff with ODSS. Ended up winning the points championship in Pro Mod. That's pretty big for us. After last year's kind of mishap, you know, putting the car back together and overcoming some of that stuff was good for the team, and all of our efforts, you know, paid off. So we like that.
That's what's been really cool the last years, following the progress and progression and the trials and tribulations, you know, from when you had to rebuild the car and putting it together and then taking it out. And I know I've chatted with you about like testing tunes and how things are working, and then to see it come together and perform it, it gives us a kind of a behind the scenes look or an inside look at what goes into it.
Heck yeah. Yeah. And then even after the end of the season, you know, I guess, you know, we tried a bunch of new components. Mr. Cody Fisher from X1 Precision, he did a bunch of titanium piping for us. We blew up an intercooler pipe at the very last race of the year down at Wagler Motorsports Park on the final round against Austin Deutsch. So that was exciting. fixed some pipes up, and we tried the new TurboSmart E-gates. So they're electronically actuated. Really neat pieces, and they're twice the CFMs of the normal kind of 45 millimeter gates that we use, and we sell, you know, good TurboSmart stuff. These are 40, we went from 45 millimeter to 50 millimeter, and it's a straight through design, so the air doesn't have to take a hard right angle to get out of its way. So it's a we tested that, did really well. We're excited to see what happens here this next season here. 24 season's going to be pretty off the chain.
What does that do? I'm just curious, with the wastegates and it being electronic, what kind of difference do you notice between the old setup and the new one?
What's really neat about it is we can get positional feedback, essentially, and then it's electronically controlled. So there's a little kind of like a CNC machine motors in there. They're called stepper motors. So they incrementally can move the valve open and closed, and we can see, you know, how fast and how far it moves, and we can actually have it. We can make a boost curve, essentially. Where a lot of us diesel guys, you know, we'll just kind of keep the gate shut and open them when we need them to, instead of where our gas racing brothers will use a wastegate with CO2 on the top and bottom of the valve to help manipulate a boost curve, like some of the Street Outlaw guys are doing with turbochargers. So we haven't really got into doing that as much. And next year we'll have a lot more tunability. So it's kind of neat to see the technology moving forward.
One of the cool things too is, I think when I chat with you, there's two different perspectives that I'm able to get. One is you as a racer and with your team, but then also with Stainless Diesel as a manufacturer. And a lot of the competitors that are out there, they're your customers. You're working with them. So when you go to like the ODSS, like the awards and the banquet and everything, what's it like being able to meet up at the end of the season with a bunch of your customers or, people who you talk to and help throughout the year?
Oh, heck yeah. No, it just makes me feel like just super proud to see our customers take the a little bit of my little bitty piece of advice that I can give them and what we do on the turbo side and the racing side, and then take it and just dominate. Like the old class that I ran in, Justin Ziegler, we helped him mid-season with a turbo change and updated some things, and he was able to break my old record for the Pro Street class I held for a little about 3 years, essentially, and haven't raced in Pro Street for 2 years. But those guys are they took that advice, and our new turbocharger, and it's a GT55. We made a lightweight billet aluminum center section, so the turbo's almost 10 pounds lighter than a typical GT55 that a lot of guys will run. He went 472, 474 range, in that range, and I was 482. So it's been proud of Justin and what he's been able to accomplish. It's really cool that he's run our exhaust manifold and turbo, and I try to give him all the tips and tricks I can in it. It makes me proud to see, guys pushing the industry further and going faster, and what's that next level can you attain? And then same thing with Mr. Michael Cordova, just an amazing record pass this year in dragster class, diesel dragster, going 380s. We help him with a turbo change, mid-season, right before Scheid, and he went 390s at Scheid and 380s at Wagler at the last race, and I'm super proud to see those guys doing really well. He works really hard for that. So all the guys that we team up with, it's friends and customers and dealers, it's just fun to push the sport to the next level, get that next record, that next level of speed for the diesel guys. It feels good. The gas guys are definitely taking notice. Being at PRI, we had the Pro Mod in the Wagler competition booth. We got invited down there by Jeremy, and had one of our big, gigantic G57 units, which is a next level above a GT55, sitting on his display engine. That's pretty neat to see there with our car. And then they got a beautiful dragster for his daughter. She'll be racing that next year in dragster class. So we did a nice turbocharger on that thing too. So I'm excited to see her get out, and another girl like Maddie, to team up and just show the world what diesel power is all about.
Yeah. Is it that GT57? That's what you had chatted with me about with Michael on our last episode, right?
Yep. So we touched base on it. It's one of those things where the exhaust wheel is quite a bit bigger when you're looking at the aspect difference on the size. Like a GT55 is 102 by 112 millimeter. And this bigger G57 unit is essentially, it's a 113 by 118, and it's a 9-blade turbine wheel, where the GT55 is a 10-blade turbine wheel. So it's a new evolution in exhaust wheel technology, which we've definitely taken advantage of the last few years with our Duramax turbos that are very popular. That 9-blade turbine it's a little bit lighter. It's designed in such a way that you don't lose that thermal leverage that you can get to help spool a turbo up. It's actually a little bit lighter than a normal 10-blade turbine, and we can maintain the leverage you need to drive a compressor wheel, even with one less blade. So it's got a unique exhaust tone. Back pressure goes down, response times go up, spool up, responsiveness goes up. So it's a win-win. And that next evolution of turbo technology just keeps moving along, and I love it.
Yeah, it seems like it keeps growing as the power and the times improve, and every year there's faster and faster times, and then
Oh, yeah.
something like this GT57 just seems like it just takes it to the next level. I'm sure in 2024 we'll see. I'm excited to see what
Oh,
happens with
yeah.
all the technology and the
Yep.
shared
Yeah,
knowledge and everything.
we're planning on doing some more dynoing on the big units down at Wagler's. He's got a big mule motor. He was talking to me about at PRI. He's going to put it on the dyno and kind of let it rip on fuel. In the gas world, we've seen 2,900 horsepower out of our 107 and the G57 range at the crankshaft. I've got a new 112 coming, 110, 112-ish, that'll be on that platform soon. So I'm excited to see where that goes. Basically shooting for that 2,900 to about 3,300, 3,400 horsepower range on fuel only with that platform. So it's gonna be interesting for
With,
sure.
I was curious what that kind of power range is. Do you think that to go faster, say in the next race season, is it going to be more power or is it going to be more technology in other parts of the vehicle and how it's set up that's going to start having, that's going to allow you to go faster, or maybe a combination of both?
Sure. That's a great question. I think ultimately, the power is always a huge factor, but if you can't get it to the ground, that's another huge factor. And I think with the technology we've been able to play with the new SNS, working with SNS back and forth on the ECM side with the car, the truck we had, the Bosch ECM, which was a really good platform. But the Motec platform has just taken it to another level. It's a lot more detailed and oriented, I think, for racing in general. It's just a great tool to work with. And we'll see. We did some electronic updates. We've got a few things, other than the wastegates that we've done as far as sensors. It's just going to be, the added power is going to help us go, clip that 200 mile an hour goal that we have in the eighth mile. So, 660 feet essentially from the dead stop. We're going to try to make this thing go 205, 200 plus next year. And it's definitely possible. And it's going to take another 500 or 600 horsepower than we had been playing with this year. We're floating around 2,800 to 3,000 horsepower this year on our tune-ups on track. So we're going to be floating that 2,500, 2,600 next year. And it's going to be interesting to see how much we can stick down. And that G57 unit, the bigger unit, with nitrous on a diesel, that's a 4,000 horsepower turbo. So that's a big number. Not sure when we're going to be able to stick that to the ground, but that's the next level. I remember when 2,000 horsepower was a big deal. Probably like 8 or 10 years ago, would you say? That was that number. And then, guys have clipped 3,000. And that's another big number the guys are clipping the last few years. And I think, that next plateau, it's coming quick and we're making plans for it.
If 8 to 10 years ago, someone would have went back in time and said, "Hey, Johnny, there's going to be a time here where you're going to be eclipsing 200 miles per hour in the eighth mile, and 3,000 horsepower is going to be kind of like the entry level power you need." What would you have told them?
What's wild is it's like, you're only limited by your imagination and your energy you can put into your thoughts with. And it's like, I've always seen the car guys do it. I'm like, man, diesel's going to do that one day. I don't know when, but diesel's going to do that. And I think today we're closer than ever to making that happen. So, but back then, I knew it was possible. I didn't know how many years it was going to take to get there. So.
That's something like PRI, where for people who maybe aren't familiar with it, can you explain what kind of event that it is, what kind of gathering it is in
Heck
different
yeah.
racing industries?
Heck yeah. So the PRI stands for Performance Racing Industry Show. And I mean the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the best manufacturers, the racers, the media coverage, it's just unreal, all in that one mecca in Indy, down in Indianapolis, Indiana, there, at the convention center. And it's kind of like SEMA, but it's shrunken down to more racing specific stuff. So you're not going to see as many jacked up show trucks and things of that nature, show stuff. But you're going to see a lot of really high performance cutting edge machines to CNC machine and engine and port cylinder heads and tubing machines to bend tubing and notch stuff out. And of course, A lot of the guys are out there, like the Fleece brothers were there with their with a nice booth and awesome display. Ryan Milliken's car was there in their booth. You had S&S Motorsports, with Michael Cordova's car. You had Wagler Competition down there with some big new billet engines on the stands, and of course our car and Jayley's new vehicle in there too. The Dragster DDP was there. There's a lot of diesel guys there, side by side with some of the biggest and the baddest performance companies in the world, like Holley. Holley EFI is huge in the gas world for all the turbo cars. Every Mustang and Camaro's probably got a Holley EFI computer on this thing with some kind of traction control for all these no prep guys running. So it's really neat to see that kind of stuff, and then all the safety stuff, obviously, like the fire protection stuff, your hats, your helmets, your suits, your gloves, the cutting edge stuff. I actually got measured for a new suit. My suit's about 6 years old and getting a little wore out, and got a new suit that's about, they tell me it's going to be 7 pounds, which is pretty amazing when my current suit's around 21 pounds. So with the same amount of fire protection, more stretchy, easier for me to get in and out of the car in an emergency situation, stuff like that. So that technology is, I just love it when you go down there and see all that stuff. So meet a lot of new faces. Get to meet some of the big, some of the famous racers and some of the icons in the industry. It's kind of neat to talk to them too when you can peel them off to the side and just chit chat with them. So it's kind of neat.
What kind of feedback do you get from people outside of diesel now with the power, the times, they're starting to beat some of the, starting to win some of these races that are out there? How has that changed over the years when you go to something like this?
Well, what's really neat, especially this year and last year, I mean, there's a lot of the big racers are taking they take notice of the diesel guys a little bit more and more every year. And I think this year they were thoroughly impressed with how fast some of the diesels are cranking and coming on. Between Ryan winning some of the Radial X275 race and being like runner up in a couple more, he's there with the best in the world on their platform, on their stage, where everybody else has, basically not a diesel. So a lot of the racers are taking notice for sure. And I think it's the feedback we got with the car. Some of the guys were standing around the car, and let's just say some big name pro mod racers came up that I recognized. And I was off to the side talking to a customer. Some of the guys were there and talking to them about the weight distribution because they've seen this gigantic billet diesel engine in the front. They were like, man, that thing's got to be really heavy on the nose. That's got to be, 60% of the weight on the nose. And typically in pro mods, you're wanting somewhere around 50, 50, 48% on the nose. So let's just say we're 50, 50 or a little better than that. And they were surprised once you start talking shop with them on that level on some of those guys. So it was impressive to see, them scratching their heads, some of the racers seeing them firsthand scratching their heads, talking shop with the diesel deal. So it's going to be neat
Cool.
next year.
I always like to ask you about that part because I just as a enthusiast and an outside observer, I see the diesel stuff and then I've seen more success racing against gas, and it's always something because I think they were so far ahead for so long. That's where it started. With racing
Oh,
and going quick, and then to see the progression and how diesel has started to catch up and in some cases win. That it's really cool. I also think another awesome aspect of this is all that you've learned and done on the track and the people that you work with. A lot of that technology and the lessons translate to the daily drivers, the guys who are towing and doing different things with their trucks on a daily basis. And you had mentioned some cool things with the 6.7 Cummins VGTs. I wanted to ask you about that with some sizes and some options that those guys are going to have.
So right before Thanksgiving, we dropped a couple new units. We've got three new sizes available for the 6.7 Cummins platform on the VGT. So a lot of people know our popular Boss Series Turbo, our 6.367 Turbine, and our 6.060 Tow Boss. Just really good solid performers. We've had those out for a number of years. We've had a couple guys pushing, wanting some more flavors. You know, there's the chocolate ice cream, and you know, there's vanilla, but now we got, you know, see some orange sherbet and some Rocky Road, you know. So we got some more flavors to play with now. So we have another 63, but it's a 64 turbine. So that's for that guy that's like, you know, the 63, 67 will handle 100% over injector. And then we have a larger one than that now too, which is a 65, 67. And that's kind of a neat little unit to 750 horsepower range guys might want to play with that. 700 at that 63, 67, 650-ish at the 63, 64. And then of course the tow boss is really good for, you know, anything on stock injectors, to maybe just you know, 30% over, something like that, low 500s to 450 range. So just a really good range of setup. And then we've got a couple of these, a new big one. It's a 68 with a 74 turbine. That's the biggest Mac Daddy. I think that 900 horsepower mark with a VGT is essentially attainable with that. So a lot of different flavors in that. Still have your exhaust brake, still bolt on like a stock unit. All electronics, everything's functional, everything works like a normal VGT turbo, but it's a little more capable if you need that. So
That
a lot packed.
I had to pause for a
There's
second because I'm
a
like, wait,
lot there.
we're talking about 900 horsepower VGT turbos, and especially on the 6.7. That was the first truck I had. It was the first diesel I ever owned,
Heck
and
yeah.
you always had to swap it out. You always had to get rid of the VGT. You always had to
Right.
go to something else
Right,
to make even 600 horsepower, 650 efficiently. So now we're
Exactly,
talking,
exactly.
you know,
Yeah.
550 to 900 on a VGT that I don't have to change anything. It just bolts
Yep.
in and I'm
Just
good.
bolt on like stock and go have some fun. You know,
So it's
just
like
and
the
it's one of those things where I think you know, in the Duramax line as well. I mean, we've got some bigger units, and then those have been really popular. And then we've got a 72, 73 that's going to be coming very soon for the Duramax world. Kind of like a stage 3R unit. We're working really close with Mr. Mark Broviak. A lot of Duramax guys know who that is with that unit. So it's going to be a collaboration of some great minds going together to make that big unit. And that's essentially 1,000 horsepower turbo for Duramax. So it's more slated for obviously stock appearing sled pulling world, or maybe drag racing, you know, for sure.
when you're out there chatting with truck owners or even maybe people at the track, do you find that a lot of them still think that a VGT can't perform the back pressures too much? It's inefficient. It doesn't work. 'Cause
Right,
I know
right.
that was the perception for a long time. That was one of the main reasons
Sure.
you'd want to go to a fixed geometry turbo was that was the selling point for it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really familiar with all the details, and some of our listeners might not be in the technology and the advancement to where you can run these VGTs at these higher power levels and still keep the efficiency there and have some of the basics. Because one of the biggest things I remember was people, they didn't want to lose the exhaust brake, but they would do other
Right,
things with
right.
their truck with injectors and tuning and a built transmission. So they needed or wanted more than stock power,
Sure,
but wanted the
sure.
exhaust brake. So
Yeah.
how would you explain that to somebody if they're of the opinion that VGTs are still inefficient and they just don't handle the higher power levels?
So I think the just like anything, I think, you know, when you start back in the days that, you know, the people started playing with transmissions where the trucks were pretty stock, and they started making a little bit more power with your tuner box on there, and then you found the weak link, you know, and then the transmission builders made them way better, you know, started making billet shafts, they started making extra clutch packs and different pressures inside the transmission to make them live longer, happier lives at larger power level. It's the same thing with turbos. I mean, we kind of seen, okay, you can push these things so far, and then over the edge, you know, it's all right, back it up a notch and let's go back to the drawing board. So in years past, you know, for sure, you know, fixed geometry turbo would make the power all day long easy. But when you get too big, you lose some of that bottom end, low end drivability, and you have to, adjust your RPM of operation. So essentially, where with the VGT, it's going to come on quicker. It's going to come on stronger. In the lower end, torque band is going to be wider than a big S400, for instance. When you can make, I mean, most of these guys, even between the Cummins or the Duramax world, once you hit that 700, 800 range, I mean, you're in the danger zone of having to be really serious about your setup. Are you going to pull this engine out and put rods in this thing? Because you're going to make enough torque where you can shorten those rods pretty quick on either platform. So I mean, once you get to that higher level and like some of the stock appearing sled pull guys and some of the drag race guys, I mean, we're there with the VGT now, so you don't have to get rid of that low end torque. You don't have to get rid of that spool up responsiveness now to be at those really good numbers and hit four digits with a VGT now. So it's going to be a pretty wild ride next year for sure.
It's so exciting because I think there's so many other things that are going on in the diesel performance industry with tuning and fueling and products that are there that I just see that need growing in the future where you're going to have 600 horsepower, maybe 650. You're going to have these other components that support it. And I think every time I've done a tuning episode, all of them tell me I run out of turbo just with a stock turbo. That's
Sure.
what holds the power back. So being able to see these options, well, there's more turbo you can get.
So there's, yeah, and that's what it comes down to. I mean, everybody's setup is so different. Not everybody needs a 750 horsepower tow truck, but some people want that. Or, not everybody wants a sled pull. Some people want a drag race. And, you can have your cake and eat it too, I guess. Have the horsepower and the engine brake all in one. So.
What are some other things that you're looking forward to in 2024, whether it's with racing,
Sure.
maybe some
Yeah.
other parts of diesel performance that you think might improve the racing side or the daily driving side, the towing
Heck
side?
yeah. Heck yeah. Yeah, I'm just really excited to go out and ODSS has added a couple more tracks to race at next year, which is kind of nice. Going to be in Orlando Speedway. I'm excited to be back down in Florida racing. That was really, really fun when you get to go down there when it's a little cold up north here still. So the first week of April, just after March time, we'll be down there. And then, we're going to a couple of the usual places like Indianapolis. We'll be back down there for UCC. I believe that's in May. And then mid-season, Chi Diesel Extravaganza is still going on. It's still on the schedule. And then RLC, Michael Dalton down in Tennessee, Crossville, Tennessee, still on the track schedule there as well. And then they added a new one in Pennsylvania. I think it's Keystone out there, Keystone Dragway. So that's going to be in September. So it's going to be a full wide open season as far as racing goes. And it's going to be fun. I think we're going to be hitting some no prep races with the Pro Mod in between some of that. So it's going to be mixing it up with some of the gas guys in between some of the diesel races. So we got a full season definitely on the schedule for next year.
Well, something I did want to ask you, this popped into my head a while ago. It seemed like maybe it was this summer. I can't remember exactly when, but I started to hear about different tracks that were closing. I think in Sacramento, I think, I
Oh
mean, one
yeah.
local to me, Bandimere,
Yeah,
was
yeah.
closing. I think a big one
Yeah.
down in Texas. I can't remember the name of it, but
Yeah,
I
it's
started to see a
man.
lot of enthusiasts talk about that. And they're like, these tracks that I always went to, we're closing now. As a racer, somebody's going to all these events and performing out there.
Oh yeah.
What are you seeing with
Man,
that? Is it
it's man, I'll tell you
transitioning?
what, it's painful because it's painful to see it happening, first of all. And I guess, economy's changing and life goes on and things change. But my local track to me, near and dear, one of my first places I drag raced ever, 15, 16 years old, essentially. Osceola over in a dragway that's been in Indiana for I think it was almost 60 years. They had some slowly, I think, houses built around it, and They start, fighting against the noise and ordinances, and pretty soon, the track owners just kind of lose the battle. I think I see that a lot more and more across the country. And then people, I mean, obviously, if you can support your local tracks, boy, that's huge. And for me, it's like family, because when you go there, Osceola, for instance, we go there on Sunday, race all day, bring a little grill, cook some hot dogs, bring the family, hang out, and race with your buddies on Sunday, and work all week, race on Sunday. And that's why I like, drag racing so fun to me. It's like every month I'm somewhere else, and I get to see my diesel family, and pick on each other, race with each other, and help each other. So it's just one of those things. I hate to see tracks going away, because you miss that aspect of it for sure.
That was the
So.
thing that I underestimated about Bandimere Speedway, is the emotional impact it had on me.
Oh
Because,
yeah.
I mean, it's maybe 15 minutes from me, but if that track wouldn't have been there in 2008 or 2009, I wouldn't be doing this podcast right now. Because
Oh
that
yeah.
was the first race. I think it was the Rocky Mountain Truck Fest or something like that, or Truck
Yep.
Fest.
Yep. Heck yeah.
That's where I saw, I think it was a Shide truck at that time, and Dimitri racing against Duramax, and that's.
Yep.
I saw that race, and that, here all these years later is why I'm sitting here and why
Heck
we're
yeah.
chatting and
Yep,
all that
yep,
stuff. So when I heard it was
yep.
closing, I was like, there's so many memories I have of Test and Tunes, or a bunch of companies would go out there.
Oh
It was the
yeah.
first time I ever saw ATS or BD Diesel or
Sure,
any of these
yep.
places in person.
Oh
And
yeah.
then I'm like, it's not going to be there. I think they are planning to build it somewhere else, around the city, but I just underestimated my emotional attachment to this place that I would go to, that started to get my interest in how are these trucks going so fast? What's that sound when they're spooling up? How
Oh
come,
yeah.
they used to be really smoky back then, but then why don't they smoke, but they're
Oh
going
yeah.
faster, and
Yep.
there's all these vendors I can meet, and I could stop and, I really like this guy's truck, or I like what they're doing, I can talk to him. So that just kind of hit me hard. Just kind of, I don't know.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just man, I'll tell you what, and you mentioned that some of the big dogs back in the day. It's like I went to Indy to watch like the very first diesel race I was ever at. And you're talking, I'm gonna date myself here. It was probably like 15 years ago, probably a little bit longer. 15, 16 years ago. It was just packed full of enthusiasts and trucks, and I've never seen nothing like it, because I was racing gas cars since I was 16, it's just amazing to see the energy that was there. And then it's like, man, you didn't know you could get that kind of power out of a four-wheel drive truck. And then you start looking at a little further, like you said, ATS back in the day, and a bunch of guys, Shide built a dragster. And then I think when you mentioned smoke free, it's like I heard, well, I seen the Banks had this little door slammer there, little pro stock truck looking thing with the Duramax. And I mean, this thing was literally completely smoke free. It sounded like a gas engine, but it was diesel Duramax. And I watched that thing go down the track, and I was like, this is crazy. And that got me leaning to, over to the diesel side more and more once I seen the energy going into it. So it was it's impressive back then for sure. That's what got me here, where I'm at right now.
I really think it's a cornerstone of what drives the performance, and that's why I'm excited, and I hope to see maybe new venues or new places, because I think it's still the backbone of the performance side. Like I know that 98, 99% of diesel truck owners are driving them every day. They're making money with them. They're towing,
Yep.
but where you, I think, really build the enthusiasm is when you see them go down a track, and it could
Yep.
be the ET class, or it could be like what you're racing, it could be UCC, anything in between.
Oh yeah.
That's where we really start to get excited, and you build the passion and the excitement. So
I think
I think it's important.
it's a big deal. I mean, kind of like the big three manufacturers back in the day. They used to say, race on Sunday, sell on Monday kind of deal back in the 70s and 80s, with the factory stock race cars. And I really think that it shows what diesels are capable of. And then, racers slash manufacturers and people are doing R&D on the racetrack. You see what things are capable of. You see how to find efficiencies, and you can take that technology and all that test data. We accumulate a tremendous amount of data On the racetrack, believe it or not, real world. I mean, you can dyno stuff left and right, but it's that abuse, that dynamic cycling instead of a static load on the dyno, in a little fixed window. Dynamically, when you're loading a sled pulling truck on the track, you know, the tires are grabbing and they're slipping and they're grabbing and they're slipping, and you're testing things like that that you just wouldn't believe. Turbo shaft speeds are spiking and jumping up and down, and same thing for drag racing, going through the gears and locking up converters, and things are taking a beating. So you're seeing things. How hard can you push it? You know, so when you get things that can handle certain amounts of abuse and certain shaft speeds, you got a great data set to come back to the real, like your real world, like you said, 98% of the time in the real world. These guys that are towing trailers every day and working these trucks, you know, and the farmers pulling hay wagons and pulling camper trailers, and just everybody in the country working a diesel truck, you know, gooseneck trailer haulers, and they want to know that their parts are going to last, and that's kind of what we do. We test them to failure, and then we'll back them off a notch, and we have a great data set, cluster of data that tells us, you know, where we need to be at on all of our on-road stuff. So it's definitely beneficial for the racing side, not only from the R&D aspect, but just to kind of push the levels up of diesel. You know, everybody can see what diesel's capable of, for sure.
It was I don't know, just something that kind of struck me, because automotive, in a way, well, there are emotional aspects to it. I think you go through it when you race and you win, and the highs and the lows and the team and everything else. But I think overall, if you're not in it, it's kind of a non-emotional sort of sport or kind of passion. But I've really focused in the last few years on that side of it, because I found, whether we're talking about racing, or I'm sure there's customers that come up to you at an event or race and say, "Hey, thanks for this turbo. Like it saved me. I'm glad you got it to me. I was able to get home. I was able to do this stuff." And the track thing, I haven't really covered too much or talked about, but I just saw it was like real quick, like three or four of them that were iconic were just like, "Hey, we're going away." And I wanted to ask you about that, because I'm sure you've either raced at them, been there to them, had a booth at them. Know people that race there, so I was curious.
Definitely support your local tracks, everybody out there if you can. You know, whether that's take the kids there on a Friday, watch a couple passes, get a hot dog, just hang out, man. It's gonna mean it means a lot to racers and families, and it's good entertainment. It's good, clean fun. You know, it's fun to watch. You know, a lot of different aspects of racing. I like all the different spins they have on it nowadays with the No Prep Kings and the 28-inch tire guys, and then of course these wild pro mods and dragsters and just everything from one side of the spectrum to the other.
I wanted to circle back real quick to the 6.7 Cummins turbos. So those ones, the sizes you mentioned, you guys have those available now, ready to go. People can go on stainlessdiesel.com and order one up, or if they have questions, reach out to you guys.
Heck yeah, heck yeah. Yeah, if you got application questions, you know, that's about the majority of the phone calls nowadays. Definitely applications, questions, emails, you know, email sales@stainlessdiesel.com with any kind of questions on if you got sizing and something you can't find on the website or you don't see that you might want, and we'd be happy to help you out. And as far as the sizing that we mentioned, you know, the new sizes, they're definitely available and listed online. I think the new largest one for the Duramaxes is not available quite yet, but it's going to be available here the first quarter next year. That 72, 73, that's going to be available soon. And on the Dodge side, the 60, 63, 64, it's called the underboss. The tow boss is that 60, 60. And then our larger 65, 67 is available on there right now too. So a couple different options, a lot of different flavors of ice cream to pick from.
I'm still amazed by the 900 horsepower
Oh
UGT.
yeah. Yep. Pretty
Well,
wild.
it was cool chatting with you, Johnny. I appreciate your time. I know you're a really busy guy. You got a ton of stuff
Heck yeah.
going on, but yeah, I wanted to catch up with you, chat about PRI and ODSS and the new turbos that you have, and then see what you're looking forward to for 2024. So it's always a pleasure to chat with you. I appreciate the knowledge and the insights and everything. Look forward to chatting with you again
Heck
and
yeah.
seeing how you do in 2024 with the Pro Mod.
Heck yeah, man. Thanks for having me on, bud. It's been a great time.
Don't forget, Diesel fans, make sure and head on over to Kershaw.KAIUSA.com. Use code 2024, Diesel40, for 40% off site-wide. It's a great way to save some money, get some really cool gear. So if you need a knife for hunting, fishing, EDC around the job site, they've definitely got you covered with a bunch of different choices for blade shape, blade length, different handle designs. So head on over. Check them out. Use that code for 40% off MSRP. Also want to give a shout out to some of our Patreon supporters, Tyler Lowen at 23 Diesel, John, J. Cole, all of our other Patreon supporters, all of you who subscribe on YouTube and podcast apps, follow us on social media. We appreciate your support here in year 8 of the Diesel Podcast and look forward to bringing you more of the content that you want to hear in 2024. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.